Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we focus our attention on our epistle reading from Philippians 3 and 4, where we hear Paul say, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." You may be seated. You've probably heard motivational speakers, or maybe experts on leadership, maybe even a pastor or two from time to time who will tell you that to be successful, the most important thing is that you have to have the right focus. You have to think the right way. You have to be calculating in your decisions. And while those people, their focus is generally on the worldly types of success that get people ahead in business, that get people ahead in this life, there's actually a truth to that way of thinking, even in our life as Christians. Of course, if you focus on the wrong things, like maybe failures from your past or pain that you just can't let go of, these things are going to keep you from achieving in this life. But while positive thinking and focus and avoiding the negative that can so easily creep in can help you move forward in this life, what Paul is offering in his encouragement to the Philippians in today's epistle reading isn't that. What Paul is offering to us as we continue our Lenten journey here on the second Sunday is encouragement to keep our focus on the Savior. That Lenten focus on the only one who will save. Last week we heard that his journey guides our journey. And today, as we continue on this Lenten journey, we're reminded that it's easy, it's very easy, for us to spiritually get off track. Which is why Paul needs to remind us that there is someone who we can focus on, who will keep us on track, who will keep us on the right path, ever straining toward that goal of everlasting life. And while Paul does encourage his brothers and sisters in Philippi to imitate him, Paul is not asking them to follow his lead. He's not asking them to act like him, except by imitating him in this one way. And that one way is to focus on the one who is going to earn the prize for them, for all of them, in the end. So as Paul nears his conclusion to this letter to the Philippian Christians, he invites all of us to imitate him in that way. And he does so by saying this, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." The example that they have in them. Paul and the other apostles who have been preaching to them, who have begun those churches, who have set up the very place for them to come and worship their Lord and Savior. They're examples, examples in the faith. They're leaders as well. Too often, though, our leaders today, and even then too, and those who are trying to get us to follow them, come off in their speaking as incredibly arrogant. I'm sure you've heard a leader or two who has sounded like that to you. They hold themselves up as examples to imitate on the road to success. But Paul is not one of those arrogant leaders. He's not just some expert in the field trying to offer practical advice based on his own experiences, as so many who seek to lead try to do. He's an apostle. He's a servant of Christ Jesus. And what he has to share with these saints at Philippi and with us here today is much more than a simple pep talk on how to focus on the right things in order to be successful here in this world. To imitate Paul has very little to do with him at all. It has everything to do with Jesus. And while the successful leaders and preachers of today may tout their own accomplishments, that's not at all what Paul does. Paul takes his accomplishments, which are many, and he counts them as loss. This is what we hear in the verses that are immediately preceding today's epistle reading. We're going to hear those from earlier on in Philippians chapter 3 in just a couple of weeks during this Lenten season. Paul says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Jesus." Anything that's worldly, anything that's of the flesh that might make him confident in himself, all of these things Paul sets aside, clinging only to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Lenten focus that we're called to have imitates Paul in this way. It clings to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which comes only through faith. Now, our Lenten focus also has to recognize that there's a tendency for all of us to reject the cross of Christ so that we might achieve some form of self-glory. Paul presents a contrast here that would have been very evident for the people in Philippi. They were seeing it every day in the people that were in their town, but also the people who were in their church. And it's a contrast that's pretty easy for us to see in our context as well. Because while Paul himself set aside those things that bring confidence in the flesh, there are many in that church who did not. And this isn't the first time that Paul writes about enemies of the cross of Christ, seeking to have glory lavished upon themselves, as opposed to recognizing where real glory is, in the servant, the Savior, who suffered all, even death, for them. So here he warns about these enemies again, this time with powerful language telling of their ambitions towards self-glory and how in doing this, what they do is reject the very event that offers them salvation. They reject the cross of Christ. Paul says this, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things." That final phrase right there sums up the reality of sin for these people who Paul is describing. But it's not just them. It's every single person of all time who that phrase sums up. With minds set on earthly things. How easy it is for our focus to be divided between the things that God desires for our minds to be on and everything else that this world tells us we should be focused on. And to have just a divided focus would be one thing. But the truth is that the longer that our focus remains divided between the things of God and the things of this world, the more we're neglecting that single-mindedness that God calls all of his children to have. A single-mindedness that's focused on him and his things only. To be completely honest, what this is a first commandment issue. When God says to us, "You shall have no other gods," he's not saying, "I need to be the biggest god in your life. What God is saying is, I need to be the only God in your life. Can you truly say that you have no other gods besides Him? I can't. I struggle along with each and every one of you in the temptation to put myself above others, to speak an unkind word in order to build myself up. In my desire for the things of this world, even in that self-glory that seeks to exclude God's work in Christ as the source of my salvation, we're all right there together. And that's very much what Paul is getting at as he speaks here to the Philippians. The issue here is a false confidence in one's own flesh. As if we could contribute to the work that has earned us the title and the role of forgiven and redeemed child of God. It's so easy to fall back on the law and cling to some sort of confidence in our own works or accomplishments. And even here during this season of Lent, that becomes a huge temptation for us. Think about it. What does everybody know about Lent? You've got to give something up, right? So what have you given up for Lent? Do you give up chocolate or soda? Maybe social media time? All of those things are fine. It's great to practice self-discipline. That can be a wonderful spiritual exercise. But sometimes we take those sort of things too far. Like when your self-discipline becomes something that you hold over God or over your neighbor. Because the pride of that old Adam wants us to gain some credit for the things that we're doing. They're hard, after all. At least if I'm going to do all of these things, I should get some points for them, right? For going all these 40 days in the season of Lent without this or without that. If we're honest, we want God to be impressed with us. And maybe it's not just God. Maybe you want the notice and the praise of your neighbors as well. And all of that might seem really harmless on the surface, but ultimately what it does is it rejects the work of Jesus at the cross and all that He's accomplished for us there. If our self-discipline is to do anything for us, it's to help us keep our focus on Christ and on His cross. The true Lenten focus laments. It even weeps for the rejection of the cross in favor of that tendency towards self-glory. And Jesus models that for us as He laments over Jerusalem, as we heard in our gospel reading. He's lamenting that God's people had this very same focus as those in Jerusalem. Or perhaps it's a lack of focus on the right things. They had rejected the prophets, they stoned and they killed them, just as they threatened Jeremiah in our Old Testament reading this morning. And so they rejected God's promised Son as well. The voice of the prophets was ignored, and the call to repentance went unheeded. Just before that point, when Jesus lamented and wept over Jerusalem there, He talked about the narrow door. Why will so many who seek to enter not find the way? And it's because of that confidence in the flesh, a lack of the correct focus, a focus on oneself as opposed to the only one who can save. Clinging to a righteousness of the law is thereby rejecting Christ and his cross. But all of us come about it naturally. Our sinful nature is always going to be seeking to justify ourselves. But in doing this, we reject that great and glorious gift that we have through Christ and his sacrifice for us. And for that, we need to repent. And when you turn away from that selfish ambition, strive for what is greater, what God has freely given you in Christ, his grace and his forgiveness. If that's all we focus on during this Lenten season and in our Christian walk, then we're focusing on the right thing. And if we focus on his grace and his forgiveness, we can't hope but focus on his cross. For he strove not for self-glory, but for God's glory. His focus was to glorify God by giving up everything for you, even his life. Paul beautifully proclaims this earlier in his letter to the Philippians, that Christ became a servant, obedient even unto death for you. He emptied himself of everything so that he would be able to be filled up with your sins, with your selfish ambitions, with your desire for your own glory. And I'm not just saying that to you because I need to hear those words as well. And I need to remember that at the cross, he took on my desire to put myself above others. He took on my desire for all the things of this world. He took on every unkind word that I've ever spoken about others. And he took on that striving for my own glory that ignores the fact that I don't have to earn my own salvation. Not to mention every single other sin that would otherwise condemn me to a life apart from him. He covers me. And he covers you too with his own perfect righteousness. Knowing that we have this forgiveness in Christ, our Lenten focus then doesn't have to look back at our faults and our failings from our past. Our Lenten focus can now help us to look forward, to look ahead to the return of Christ and your own resurrection. Paul says this, "We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." That's the goal. Not our glory, but God's. His glory that will be fully bestowed on you when Jesus comes again. So press on in this journey with a clear focus that looks beyond the successes of this world, because all of those are fleeting. And remember that this isn't just a Lenten focus. This is the focus of the whole Christian life. It's much more than positive thinking. It's much more than seven steps to a better you. It's a focus that glories in Christ and revels in daily repentance and faith. That's the focus that Paul invites you to imitate. And it's also why you can stand firm in the Lord. He's done everything for you and for your salvation. And remember, as Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Even now, as we walk the way of the cross on this Lenten journey. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.